There are 10 words in Scripture that make the difference for those who desire to live fully for Jesus Christ. These 10 words proclaim a powerful promise. They define the Christian faith, and they provide a personal confidence to the heart of every believer. If you will understand them, they will radically change your life. If you will believe them, they will breathe renewed strength into your heart and sustain you through the most difficult seasons of life. Stay with us and learn these 10 important words.
The 10 most powerful words you will ever hear. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This verse is the basis of our series and the foundation of our faith in Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God has given us an incredible promise in His Word that opens the door to biblical faith and spiritual victory. In our series, Living Life Through Christ, we will learn how the essence of our faith is found in the promises of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Encouraging Others.
Every once in a while in our lives, it's a good thing to really stop and to ask the question, what matters most? I don't want to just work 8 to 5 and drive and work and go through a routine and not accomplish what God wants me to accomplish in this life. And it's a good thing just to pull apart with God and say, Lord, what are the things that matter most? What are the things you want me investing my life in? And that's really what this series of messages is all about. It's really about 10 of the most important aspects of life. A few weeks ago, for example, we started out with knowing God. That's where it all begins, knowing God and honoring Him with our lives. We're going to look at other subjects related to our family, related to stewardship, related to how we can reach our potential for the Lord and be what He wants us to be in this life. But today, I want you to notice this subject, encouraging others, because one of the great priorities in my life after knowing God is that I might be a right influence on my wife, my children, my family, and those with whom I live and serve. I believe that God has created us to be relational. I believe He wants our relationships to be strong and to honor Him. And so this morning, I thank God for those who have invested their lives in me, for family members, for pastors, for Sunday school teachers, for people who have encouraged me along the way in order that I might go on to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that many of you would say the same. You're thankful for those who took some time to invest in your life, to disciple you, to help you in the Christian life. And I want to say this morning that everybody needs someone else's help and encouragement. No one is an island. Everybody needs someone else to encourage them. The Bible says that we're to edify one another. We're to build up one another. Mary Lincoln was the granddaughter of President Abraham Lincoln. And for many years, she owned a little box which contained the final artifacts that were found in the pockets of President Lincoln on the night of his assassination. Several years ago, that little box was given to the Library of Congress. And on some tours of the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C., you can even be shown this box of the contents held in President Lincoln's pockets. Amongst other things, that night, that fateful night in our country's history, amongst other things found in his pockets was an article clipped out of a newspaper that was a letter to the editor simply praising Lincoln for his singleness of purpose. Isn't it amazing that the President of the United States would take that little encouraging article, something that said he was doing a good job, and put it in his pocket as a reminder of what was said? Well, I want you to know today that everybody needs encouragement, not just presidents. Everybody needs encouragement along the way in their Christian life. And I want you to just pray a little prayer with me this morning as we begin this message, and just say it something like this: Lord, make me a blessing. Lord, make me a blessing to my family, to those that I come in contact with each and every way. And I want to give you 3 thoughts today on how you can be an encouraging Christian. Notice, first of all, if you're going to be an encouraging Christian, we must be encouraging in our walk. We must be encouraging in our everyday walk. And that's what Romans 12 is all about. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's talking to them about their relationships. And he's telling them that they can have godly, Christ-honoring relationships. And he begins in verse 9 by saying, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." The first area concerning their walk that the apostle begins to speak about is this matter of walking in honesty. He says, "I want to challenge you to walk in honesty." Look at verse 9. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation." That word means without hypocrisy. That word means to let your love be an unfeigned love. Now listen, nothing will discourage your family more than the inconsistent walk of the leader in that family. Inconsistency in leadership will always bring discouragement in followership. And so one of the great challenges we have in leadership, in relationship, is that we would walk in honesty. Now, none of us are perfect. We all fall short. But we should say, "Lord, help me to love without dissimulation." 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Many fathers say something like this, "Son, do what I say, not what I do." I remember my little friend in San Jose, California. His name was Billy Blocker. And Billy's dad was a chain smoker. I mean, you never saw him without a cigarette in his mouth. And I remember many times hearing Billy's dad say, "Billy, whatever you do, Billy, whatever you do, never touch a cigarette." You see, in his word and deed, he was showing Billy something entirely different. He was a hypocrite. He was living a life contrary to what he said. Someone said a hypocrite can be defined as someone who complains that there is too much sex and violence on their VCR. Many people live that way today. Boy, they talk about no prayer in the public school, but they never pray at home. They talk about all the problems with sin in society while their own family is filled with it. Listen, if you want to be an encouragement to your family, if you want to be an encouragement to those with whom you associate, make sure that you're walking in honesty. There are no more bitter tears than the bitter tears of a little child who sees a daddy walk out of the family. No more bitter types of crying than a mother who just found out her husband wasn't faithful. There's no more of a bitterness than we could possibly explain today than when someone has been walking in a life of duplicity for many years and suddenly it is revealed. God says, if you want to encourage others, then walk in honesty. But notice, secondly, he tells us that our walk, if it will be an encouraging walk, must be a walk in love. We're to walk in love. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." Now, when we study Christian love in Romans chapter 12, we see very quickly that it is a benevolent love. Christian love is always an active love. Christian love is always a giving love. It's more than an emotion. It's more than just a feeling. It is an action. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he" what? "He gave." And whenever God's love is being shown forth, it's always accompanied with an action. Now, God's love is so different than the world's love. Notice a couple of quick thoughts about God's love. The Bible says in verse 9, "Abhor that which is evil." Godly love abhors evil. So many times people in this world say, "Hey, if you love me, drink this. Hey, if you love me, take this. Hey, if you love me, let's go to a party and do this." I want to tell you something. God's love will never take you to a cesspool of sin. What the world calls love with their branding, tattooing, piercing, and drunken behavior oftentimes is not love. It is simply empty lust. God's love is without evil. God's love will cause us to cleave to that which is good. Notice the Bible says that in verse 9. Cleave to that which is good. Those things that are virtuous, those things that are pure. These are the things that Christian people will love. God's love will cause us to be kindly affectioned one towards another. Verse number 10 says, "Be ye kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." This means to cherish one's kindred. This means to show forth our love. Sometimes I'll have young people say to me, maybe Bible college students will say, you know, Pastor Chappell, I never had a father who said, I love you. I never really saw affection in our home. I want to simply say today that it is God's will that we would express our love one to another. Boy, I tell you what, moms and dads, love your kids and put an arm around those old ugly teenagers and tell them you love them and be kindly affection towards them and compliment them. Love is kindly affection. And then the other thing we see about God's love here is that godly love will prefer the other person. It says in verse 10, in honor preferring one another. You know, when a young man becomes a young married man, there are some things he puts away. And he says, honey, there's some things I'm putting away because I prefer being with you. I want to meet your needs. And what a great thing it is to see that type of humility and that type of unselfishness in marriage. The Bible says in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. This is what biblical love is all about. God says you want to encourage your family. You want to encourage those with whom you relate on a daily basis. Then have an encouraging walk. And he says that this is a walk that is a walk in honesty. And this is a walk that is a walk in love. And we also see here that it is a walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness. I don't care what relationship you're talking about. I don't care how strong the marriage you're talking about. There will come a point in time in every marriage where forgiveness is the only way through. Where forgiveness is the only way to resolve. The Bible says in verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 21, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. There will come times in your life when you have been dealt evil, when you have been mistreated, when you have been hurt or slandered or worse. And I say to you in those times, if you hold that, and if you let it brew within you, the only one now being hurt is you yourself. You cannot control the actions of others, but you can control your reaction to them. And you can say, I will forgive. I will love. I choose to do what is right. God says if we're to have an encouraging walk, we must walk in honesty, and we must walk in love, and we must walk in forgiveness. And what an encouragement it is when these characteristics are evident in our lives. Notice there's one final thought concerning our walk, and I want you to see it in verse 13. It says in verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. I believe if we're going to have an encouraging walk, we must finally walk with concern in our hearts. We must be a people who really care about people. We must be a people who don't simply care about our agenda at work, about what we want done at home or at church, but we must truly care about people. And verse 13 speaks of distributing to the necessity of the saints. I believe this tells us that we must be concerned enough to give. Concerned enough to give. There are times when God wants us to simply reach out and be the benefactor, the giver, the one who helps someone in their time of need. Now, Romans 12 tells us that there are certain spiritual gifts. Romans 12:8, for example, says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. There are some people in this church, God has given to them the gift of giving. Like others teach, like others show mercy, they have been given to the body for the purpose of giving. But whether you have the gift of giving or not, God says, I want everyone to care enough to give. And when God puts a need across our path, as Christian people, we need to be concerned to do what we can to help in meeting that need. Concerned enough to give? Yes. But you know, there's something else we must be concerned to do. Sometimes we need to be concerned enough to go. Concerned enough to go to someone. Look at what it says there in verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. You know, there are times when giving a check is sufficient. There are times when giving a gift is a blessing. There are other times when what is really needed is your presence. There are times when someone has a burden that if you are going to have an encouraging walk, you're going to go to them. My wife and I spent some time this week on a visit where much of the visit was just in a time of tears over a burden that someone had. It wasn't so much what we said as much as just taking a moment to be there. And there are times in your life when you need someone to come into your life. There are times in others' lives when they need you to come in. They need you to say, hey, hang in there. Hey, don't be discouraged. Hey, we're praying for you. We know it's tough. Don't give up. I remember years ago, a man wrote a book, and the book was entitled, Dear Preacher, Please Quit. And I remember thinking, can you imagine that? Here I am on a Monday morning, tired and done everything I could on Sunday for the Lord. And I get this in the mail. Dear preacher, please quit. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to give my life to trying to encourage preachers not to quit, but to stay faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a pastor friend. Every time he writes me a letter, he puts a little card in with it. He has had these printed up. And the little card just says, don't quit. Don't quit. You know what you need to say to someone this week? Don't quit. Hang in there. It's going to get better. This too will pass. And encouraging people to stay faithful in the walk of God. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Hey, when you've got a friend that's going up against something, why don't you be the one to go in and bear up their burden and encourage them to keep on keeping on for God? I'm saying we need to be encouraging in our walk. Notice, secondly, God wants us to be encouraging in our work. God says, now I want you to make a difference where you work. Notice this, if you would, in verse 11. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, servant in spirit. Now, this is one of the many reasons that I love In-N-Out Burger. And I'm going to come to some of your theological levels right here at this part in my message. You know, I like going into a restaurant where the workers are clean cut. You kind of get the idea. They clean their fingernails every once in a while. They've got a haircut. They look you in the eye and say, can I help you? I like that. I like going into a place where things are clean. I like going into a place where they actually have a large glass window that allows you to look into the kitchen and see those potatoes being turned into French fries before your very eyes. And watch that fresh lettuce coming onto that hamburger patty. I mean, it's just an enjoyable time when you're going through the drive-thru at In-N-Out Burger. You know what? They're fervent about it. They're not slothful in their business. They're doing a good job at it. You know what I believe? I believe that Christian people should be the best workers in the workplace. Principled. People that are walking with integrity. And the Bible says here, people that are not slothful. People that, first of all, have a faithful work. Not slothful, but faithful. The word slothful here means sluggish. The Bible says we're not to be sluggish. You know, we lose billions of dollars a year in the American economy because of tardiness, because of people who talk too much at work, because of people who have to go out and have all kinds of breaks for every kind of a reason. I tell you what, God wants us to be faithful. He doesn't want us to be slothful. Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but doing it as unto the Lord. He says, I want you to be faithful. We must secondly have a fervent work. The Bible says here, fervent in spirit. Let's say that together. Fervent in spirit. Someone that's got a good attitude about what they're doing. The word fervent means to boil with heat. It means that they're on fire. Years ago, I was preaching at a meeting. I preached several times. A pastor came up to me after preaching. He said, Brother Chapel, he said, you are intense, man. You are intense. I've thought about that many times. You know, I think the only way to really live for the Lord is with some intensity. I don't want to go through it like a snail. I don't want to go through it like it's not important. Listen, we're about the King's business. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are the only representative of Jesus that many people will see. I challenge you today to be fervent in your work. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Listen, I don't care what it is. It might be pounding a nail. It might be walking a beat. It might be giving someone a shot. And whatever it is, do it as unto the Lord. A faithful work, a fervent work. Thirdly, a serving work. A serving work. Notice what it says, verse 11. Serving the Lord. You know, you're going to be an encouragement to someone if you have a servant's heart. A servant's heart. Serving the Lord. Sometimes we call it servant leadership. leading by serving, just doing what God has asked us to do. The Bible says in Psalm 100, serve the Lord with gladness. And I thank God for Christians who have been an encouragement in their work and who are fervently doing what they do as unto the Lord. The other night I went home and I have had so many things to do and lessons to prepare, and just my to-do list just keeps getting bigger. And I'm the type of person that before I can sit down and maybe do some writing or do some studying, sometimes before I can do that, I've got to clean something. I've got to clean my desk. I've got to clean a closet. I'm just kind of compulsive about that. You know, I just got to clean something. So I told my wife, I said, honey, I've got so much to do. I think I'll clean a closet. And I went into my house and I opened up a closet and I started pulling stuff out and organizing things. I know some of you are looking at me like, we have a weird pastor. I'm just confessing my sin to you right now. And I just had to clean something. I pulled down a box and I was taking some things out of the box and organizing it. And in the box was this little note right here I have in my hand. It says on top of it, just a note to say hello. And I opened that up and I looked at this note. It was from a godly lady, written to my wife, a godly lady that at one time was on the staff of this church. Her name was Lori Thomason. Lori Thomason, just a young woman. Not only one of the finest Christian women I ever knew, but one of the best staff members this church ever knew. She was a young woman that at about age 22, 23 came down with cancer. And God in His sovereign plan called her home. The Bible says, blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And we may not understand all of that this side of heaven, but that was God's choice for Lori's life. And Lori wrote this little note to my wife. It says, dear Mrs. Chapel, just a note to let you know I am praying for you. I am especially praying for you this week. I'm so excited to see how God is going to bless the ladies' retreat. Thank you for being such a godly example to me. I love you. Love, Lori Thomason. P.S. Please let me know if I can do anything for you. Here was a woman who was encouraging others by serving. Here was a woman who, being dead, yet speaketh. Why? Because she chose to encourage the pastor's wife rather than criticize. Why? Because she chose to do what was right rather than what was wrong. Why? Because she was a woman who, as the Bible says, was fervent in her spirit and willing to serve. I'm saying your life has great potential to be an encouragement to someone this week. And we see here that we are to be encouraging in our work. Now notice finally today, not only are we to be encouraging in our walk, not only are we to be encouraging in our workplace, but finally, we're to be encouraging in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, every one of us have a witness. Every one of us are known. Every one of us have the opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I can tell you unequivocally, it is God's will for you to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Jesus Christ has commissioned us to be His witnesses. I believe when it comes to being a witness, the first thing God wants us to do, He wants us to invest our lives in others. Go back to your outline if you're taking notes. He wants us to invest in others. Let's say that together. To invest in others. He wants us to be a people who see every relationship as a divine appointment. He told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are His ambassadors. Hey, you're not a soccer mom, you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Hey, you're not a police officer, you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Hey, you're not a technician at the hospital, you are the ambassador of Jesus Christ. And God has you where you are for a reason. One of the things I sometimes put in the bulletin is a little statement that says this: every member a minister. You see, it's not just the pastoral staff that are full-time ministers, but a mature Christian says, I also am a full-time minister. God wants to use me every single day.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. West Coast Baptist College's choir and orchestra have just produced a brand new music CD that Pastor Chapel would like to send you as a gift when you support this broadcast ministry. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
If you've ever wanted to travel to Israel and tour the Holy Land, you have an amazing opportunity coming later this year. On September 28th through October 7th, 2015, Pastor Chapel is teaming with Templeton Tours to host a 10-day expedition of the Holy Land that will be full of both inspiration and instruction. If you're interested in this very unique opportunity, contact Templeton Tours at 1-800-334-2630 or visit templetontours.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.